right. My name is Greg Hampton. If we have never met, I would love to meet you, maybe grab you a coffee sometime, hear your story. We have been in a series for the last 4 or 5 weeks called How To. We're trying to keep it practical here for a few weeks because next week we start a series on the Nicene Creed that will lead us all the way to Advent. And we'll just have Advent like we do every year, talk about hope and peace and love and light. So we've talked about how to pray, how to study the scriptures, how to fellowship, and today I'm closing it up with the message on how to serve. Now, maybe some of you are thinking this must be the Sunday where Greg does all the recruiting. this also, yes, by the end of the day, we're going to get out all the lists, and you're going to fill out your name on anything. We're going to lock the doors. Not really. But listen, serving isn't just about what you do in a church, right? Serving is about what you do with your life. Serving is about seeing how your life is connected to something that is more than just yourself. You're connected to your family, you're connected to God, you're connected to this church, but you're also connected to your neighbors, to your city, to the world. Following Jesus leads us to do more than just serve in a congregation a couple times a month. Jesus leads us to serve with our lives wherever we are. So let's go ahead and jump into the scriptures. I'm going to read three different passages. So there's Bibles on the table, or you can open up the Bible app on your phone. If you'd like, I'm going to be in John 13, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 2. So pick one of those if you'd like, and we can all just kind of be in different places. John 13, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 2. And we have a tradition around here that when the passages are read in the context of the sermon, that we give them our full attention. One of the ways you can do that is by standing with me. If you are able, you're welcome to sit if you need to. All right, I'm going to start in John 13, verses 3 through 5. It says this: Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from supper, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 16. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we may walk in them. Let us pray. God of every tribe, every tongue, every color, every nation, we thank you for the scriptures, that they have persisted throughout the millennia, that we still have them to learn from and to consider. Pray that whatever you have to teach us today, that it would stick, that it would become a part of the framework of our faith, that our faith would become stronger as we become more like your son, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, y'all. You can have a seat. All right, let's start with Ephesians. Ephesians tells us that God already has good works for us to do. They're already there, but let's be clear. We're not welcomed into a relationship with God if we serve. Amen? We're not welcomed into a relationship with God if we serve. And we don't maintain relationship with God with the works that we do. We don't have to work to keep God's love. And the same God that did the good work of creating us, accepting us, welcoming us, has also created good work for us to walk in. And if you don't know how to start walking, I'll give you something simple. All right, this past July, show of hands, you knew that there was a monastery in Rock Island. Right. It's kind of like this little hidden gem. And a lot of us know, we've mentioned it here a couple times, but It's beautiful. The property is beautiful. The building is beautiful. The chapel, everything about it is really, it's so peaceful. There's paths that you can walk on. You do not need permission. You can just go, and you can walk around the pond and through the woods a bit. And this past July, I was at the monastery for a three-day retreat. And they said when we got there, you can go really anywhere that you want. There's a library and the cafeteria and this, that, and the paths. And they said, but, you know, you'll probably see there's one path that has a sign on it that says sisters only. So anybody want to guess where I ended up? All right. So I started in the library. And the library is like when you come into the property, when you come into the main building, you walk in, and that's technically already the second floor because it goes down in the cafeteria, is downstairs where the path starts and the pond is. And so there's a library at the end of the building, and because the building is kind of multiple tiers, right outside the library they have like a rooftop patio that has like a little table and a couple chairs and flowers. And so I was sitting out there reading, praying, and there's a hummingbird came up and was feeding from a flower just a couple of feet from me. But eventually, the shade that was shading the part that I was sitting in, that had all moved. And because I sat there for quite a long time. And I was, all right, well, I'm going to go for a walk now. And so there, on the patio at the end of the building, there's an exit. It said exit and the stairs. And so I took those stairs downstairs, and it popped me outside next to a trail. And I looked over to my right, and I saw Sister Mary getting some stuff for her garden. I saw the garden, and I walked down the path, and then I kept walking down the path. And I got all the way down here on the path, and I could see a sign as I was coming, but the text was the other direction. So I got past the sign, and I looked back to see what the sign said. It said, sisters only. I had found myself somewhere that I didn't belong. And so at the next chapel, I was sat next to Sister Mary, and I apologized that I had found myself somewhere that I wasn't supposed to be. And she said, the garden's beautiful, isn't it? And she's this little lady. And I said, it is. And she said, I'm glad you saw it. I work hard on it. Sister Mary is 89 years old. She has been a nun since she was 18. And she still serves. And I'm not talking about the garden. I'm talking about her kindness. The kindness that she had when I found myself somewhere that I wasn't meant to be, and instead of chiding me, she said she was glad I was there. That was an act of service. So if you don't think that serving is for you, or that you've done all that you can, maybe something as simple as kindness is the good work that God has prepared for you to do, that he's asking you to walk in. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul reminds us that every part matters. Every Sunday, each Sunday that we take communion. And who notices what happens when we're done receiving communion? Someone goes over to the door, and sure, it's probably, yeah, it's there. Someone grabs the little caddy that was probably invented for silverware, but we use it for the communion cups. And quite often, many of those Sundays, during the summer especially, but also on Sundays like this where kids aren't treehouse age, are still with us in the room, often the person that's walking that caddy around is a child. Just a tiny, tiny little kid understanding that they are a part of the body, that they aren't only a recipient of the body, but they are an active part of it. And we don't schedule that. We schedule a lot of things. Who's in the band? Who's going to greet and host at the door? Who serves the kids? We don't schedule who's going to pick up the caddy and walk it around to receive all the communion cups so that we can wash them. But something about these kids, they get it. They know, oh, this is a moment for me to be a part of who we are, because every part matters. So maybe you don't think of yourself as someone that's like the whole arm or the leg. Or maybe you don't think of yourself as a voice that sings or a mouth that speaks. But every part matters. A body needs every single part, big and little, seen and unseen. When I was in college and my voice was changing, that's a little joke because my voice cracked right there. Me. When I was in college, I took this class called Age and Aging. And I remember learning for the first time that when an older person falls and breaks a bone or hip, it's usually not because they were weak. It's usually because they lost their flexibility. Studies show that improving flexibility can actually reduce fall-related injuries by as much as 40%, because flexibility is what allows you to trip but not fall. When you hit the curb or when you take two steps instead of one, flexibility is what allows you to push your leg out further and land on your foot instead of going down. And y'all, flexibility is found on the inside, isn't it? It's under the skin. Your flexibility is hidden. It's in the ligaments. It's in the tendons. And it's on everything underneath. And every church needs worship leaders. And every church needs people to work with the children and host people when they enter at the door. But it is the invisible acts of serving. Things like giving and vacuuming and inviting other people to church. Praying. Being kind to someone when they find themselves in a place they don't belong. Remembering their name. These things help a church be flexible. Keeps the body from breaking when we trip. And I'll be candid. Every church you've ever been to, every church you've ever seen, they've all made mistakes. Not just as individuals, but as churches, as the body. They've made mistakes on how to handle something, how to approach something. And it is the flexibility inside, underneath the outward-facing thing that happened. It's the kindness. It's the acceptance. All of that invisible stuff is what helps a church, when they trip, to not fall and break. So every part needs flexibility. Finally, let's consider John 13. Hey, will you bring the water basins in for the foot washing service real quick? I'm joking. There's nobody there. But if we had a foot washing service right now, how many of you would want to get up and leave? Yeah. Because ain't nobody need to see my feet, let alone touch my feet, right? The truth is that these days, if you have a foot washing service, it's mostly symbolic. The person is not washing. The Pope every year washes the feet of people that are homeless or mentally ill. Every single year, the Pope does acts of service like that. It is mostly symbolic. The person doesn't necessarily need their feet washed. What they need is to see someone with status to ignore that status. We wear shoes. We wear socks. I mean, if you're Dave Hodge, Dave isn't here today, but if you're Dave Hodge, you wear sandals year-round. If you were Greg in his 20s, I wore sandals pretty much year-round, but back then it was a different story. They wore sandals. Everybody wore sandals everywhere that they went. And everywhere that they went, they didn't have paved roads in Jerusalem. They didn't have paved roads in the small towns. It was all dirt and dirt paths. And you know who else was on those dirt paths? All the donkeys and all the other animals. And I'm not sure that they were paying a whole lot of attention to make sure that they didn't step in different things. And so when you went to someone's house, you wanted to have your feet washed. But that wasn't going to happen by the head of the house. That wasn't going to happen from the rabbi that you were spending time with. Culturally speaking, that was going to happen from a servant or the lowest person on the chart of that house. It was completely unexpected for Jesus, who they looked up to and was their rabbi, for him to wrap himself in a towel and to wash their feet. This is a lesson that they had taught them before. This lesson is identical to the first will be last, the last will be first. It's identical to the message that if you want to be the greatest, you must make yourself the lowest. But this time, he's not just teaching it with words, he's showing it with his actual body, with his actual service, showing them that I don't just mean it with words, I mean it with what I will actually do with who I am, that serving ignores status. And if we are following Jesus, there is no such thing as something that is beneath us. Amen? There's a show called The Bear on Hulu. I'm not saying you should watch it around your kids. There is a lot of swearing in it. But other than that, it's a good show. It's about this guy that was in fine dining and worked in Michelin star restaurants, and he comes back. His brother had died, and he comes back to take over the beef restaurant in Chicago. It's an Italian beef restaurant. They just make Italian beef sandwiches, and he's trying to do things differently. And he's got a cousin who's not really his cousin, but in their circles, you know, you called people that you knew your whole life cousin. So his cousin Richie is upset that he's trying to change things. Richie is hard-headed. He's always making himself in the way because he's trying to keep things from changing the way that he thinks that they should be. What happens is the tides start to change, and Carmen, or Carmi, who's leading the restaurant, he gets the money to reinvent this restaurant, to turn it into something that's elevated. And everyone's getting trained, everyone's getting different things that they need to learn, and he sends Richie to the best restaurant in the world, who I think it's based off of Alania. So Alania is actually in Chicago right now. It is a 3 Michelin star restaurant. It was considered one of the best 5 restaurants in the entire world for a while. I will probably never eat there because it's a ridiculous amount of money for one person to eat at a 3 Michelin star restaurant. But it shows him getting to go and work at this restaurant for a week. And he immediately thinks that the only reason he's there is because his cousin wanted to get rid of him. He just wanted to get me out of his hair. He's tired of me giving him a hard time. And in that kind of kitchen, in that kind of restaurant culture, the thing that you do when you are on loan from somewhere else is that you clean the silverware. You don't wash the silverware, you clean the silverware. It's already been washed. You stand and you polish every fork until it is perfect, and he cannot stand it. He's bothered by it. The first half of the episode, he's clinging, and he's just plunking them down, plunking them down, plunking them down. And there's this moment where Garrett, the guy that works there, he's not in charge of all of it, but he's in charge of that. And he says, come on. And he takes him outside, and he says, listen, I don't need you to like it, but I need you to respect it. He says, because this place means a lot to people. You should see the look on people's faces when they get to come here. The experience that they've been looking forward to, what we're trying to provide for them. He says, every day is like the Super Bowl here of what we're trying to create for people. He says, so you don't have to like it, you have to respect it. And Richie says, okay, I can do respect. He starts to get better. He starts to see the point. He starts to see why things are done a certain way. But he's still convinced that Carmi sent him there to get him out of his hair. At the end of this episode, he's looking for to polish the forks. And he runs into the head chef, Terry. And she is just standing there peeling mushrooms. And he stands and he says, oh, can I learn how to do that? And she shows him how to peel these mushrooms. And he says to her, well, don't you have somebody that can do this for you? You own the place. And she says, I like starting the day with this. It feels like respect. It feels attached. I think that it's time well spent. And then she explains that when she was younger, that she had all the accolades, that she had a restaurant that was doing really well and all the awards and all the articles being written about her. And then everything came crashing down, and she spent a lot of time blaming everybody else that she had been at the top and now she was at the bottom. She was doing this because it kept her grounded, because it reminded her that there was nothing that was beneath her. And after this little teachable moment, she says, "You know, I know your cousin." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm sorry that he pulled a favor." And she goes, "No, I don't do favors like that." She said, "Well, let me just say what he said." She said, "He believes in you, you know." And Richie says, "What makes you say that?" She says, "Because he told me. He said you're good with people. And he's not wrong." I don't know why this episode, it makes me cry. I've watched it 3-4 times. I was reviewing it again because I knew I wanted to tell this story. But as I was thinking about, why does this make me so emotional? I think it's maybe because we all want someone that we think is important to tell us that they believe in us. Someone that we think is at the top to tell us that we matter. Someone that in the structure of life has no reason to have to show us kindness, to show us a kindness. We all need someone to help us figure out exactly who we are. Sometimes we need someone to tell us that the person that sent you to do this thing didn't do it to get you out of their hair. They did it because they believe in you. Let me just say, wherever you are, wherever God has you, he didn't send you there to get you out of his hair. He didn't send you there because you couldn't cause any more problems there. He sent you to that spot because he believes in you. If you have kids, he gave you those kids because he believes in you. If he gave you a spouse, he gave you that spouse because he believes in you. If he gave you a rec center or a job at a bank that you never thought you'd have, he gave that to you because he believes in you, not because he's trying to occupy you with something else. He's doing it on purpose because he has put these good works out ahead of us for us to walk in. And I personally believe that Jesus is the top of the universal org chart. But he's the one that is washing our feet. He's the one that's forgiving our sins. He's the one inviting us to sit at his table. Because serving ignores status, everyone matters, and there is good for us to do. So then we ought to ask, where is God inviting us to serve? Maybe it's here. The truth is that Robin would like 2 more people on the treehouse team, 2 more people to help serve the kids. But maybe, even more likely, it's outside the walls of this church. It's in your neighborhood. It's in your workplace. It's in your school. Next week on Thursday, October 23rd, the house is going to be recognized with a hero award by the Community Caring Conference here in Rock Island. And I want to tell you something. I know that we're not being honored or acknowledged in that way because of all the programs that we have at this church. I think that they are offering that honor to us because of all the serving that the people of this congregation do in our cities. Closet to Closet is a clothing provider for children in the foster system. And what some of you might not know is, well, it's right here in our building. I'm sure some of you knew that. But some of you might not have known is that last year they were thinking about closing their doors. The kids that had been based on and founded upon and were leading it, they're all grown. They're married or they're going off to school. And it's like, okay, maybe it's time to be done. Instead, Tashiana McConnell, right over here, she said, "Yes, I'll take up that mantle. I'll take up that important thing. I'll lead that into the next season. But not just her. She's not alone. Scott, her husband, is on the board. And so is Josh Fowler, who goes to this church, and Alex North, who's here today. They're making sure that kids in the foster system have the clothing that they need. And listen, that is not our church's ministry. But people from this church do ministry. Or think about the teachers in our schools. Think about Joe Woods. Think about Chris Britton. Think about Jake Van Dam, Lena and Matt Armstrong, Brian McConnell, Cindy Hampton, Kathy Webb, Kristen Koski. I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out. But think about the impact that they get to have on all of the students that they touch and come into contact with every day, because they're doing it with kindness, because they are walking in the path that Jesus has given them to walk. They're offering kindness and patience and goodness. They're dedicating themselves to the development of children that are not their own. Think of all the benefits that that has on your city long term. And then not just as teachers. Kristen Koski, in addition to being a teacher at Moline High School, she serves on the board for a new org called The Third Place that's in downtown Rock Island. It's a drop-in shelter. It's a daytime drop-in spot for people that don't have a home, that may be experiencing poverty, that don't have a phone of their own. They need a place to store something during the day so that they can go try and get a job, or they need some connection to social services. She's on the board for that. I think about Destiny. She works with The Project. The Project offers HIV prevention services, counseling, harm reduction, LGBTQ healthcare. Think about Andy Boswell. He's a probation officer, but he's a different kind of probation officer. He is constantly trying to find paths for people back to healthy lives. About Bruce Peterson. He's on the board for the Christian Care Center, a men's shelter here in Rock Island. Or Marissa has worked for the Center for Independent Living, working with people with disabilities and educating about disabilities for 20 years. Corey Holloway works in the Rock Island School District as well, but he also serves on the board for Narratives QC, which serves people that are 18 to 24, just trying to get their feet under them, trying to figure out what their path is supposed to be. And when the city of Rock Island introduced a moratorium against any new profit starting for a certain amount of time, at least 12 different people that call this church their home were there that night. Not because we sent out an email and said, everybody needs to show up. They showed up because they're connected to all the things that happen in this city. And they care what happens on the streets of our town. That is what it looks like when the church moves beyond the walls. Serving isn't just about what you do in a church. Serving is about what you do with your life. Serving here, it's beautiful. It's necessary. It's wonderful. We want you to serve the kids. We want you to greet and host people at the door and use your voices in worship, because transformation happens here. People learn to rest, to live in Christ, and then they find out what their work is too. But the kind of serving that Jesus modeled is not confined to one spot on a map. So here's the challenge this week. Ask God to show you how to serve. This will be my third time mentioning it. Treehouse needs a couple people to join the team. That is true. And if that's you, that would be great. Please do that. If you don't already give back to God through the local church, pray about that. Consider that. After service today, Jake is going to be leading a prayer walk through the Greenbush neighborhood. What a great opportunity for you to do a simple act of service by just walking through part of the neighborhood and praying for the neighborhood. But do not reserve all of your serving for this spot on the map, because most of our serving should happen somewhere else, because most of our time is spent somewhere else. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for every opportunity to serve that you have already put out ahead of us. Like little breadcrumbs, leading us in the right direction. Pray that you would help us to listen with the Spirit, to pay attention, and then to step into the little acts of service, whether it's kindness, showing up to a city council meeting, or giving more hours of our time to serving someone that's in need. Amen. Amen.